Expert Instruction, the Teach by Design podcast, where we dive deeper into the research surrounding student behavior by talking with the people implementing these practices, where they work, and with the students they support. I'm Megan Cave.
I'm Danielle Triplett.
Well, here we are once again. It's October.
Happy October. Yay.
No, I was just telling Danielle, I think October has single-handedly been both like a whirlwind and a time warp where like, I don't know where any of the time has gone. Mm. And also I wish it would go faster. It's weird. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. It's taking no time and all the time.
Yeah. For me, it's conference season. So this month,
I'm
doing a bit of travel, going to the California PBIS conference in Sacramento and the National Leadership Forum in Chicago. So that really fills my bucket, being around lots of people who speak this language and are doing this work. And, you know, I'm a lifelong learner, so I love doing that.
You have something happening at the forum, don't you?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Let's tell people about that.
Tell them.
Thank you. Yes, we are hosting a in-person, it's our first time doing an in-person community of practice, and we're really excited for that.
Yeah.
It's taking place on Tuesday, October 21st.
So, exciting.
Yes.
Really good. So if you're going to be at the forum, make sure to stop in and say hello to Danielle and all of our friends who will be at that community of practice event. So we've got lots of stuff coming up, lots of conferences. And today, we are here and we are talking to our guests today about data decision rules. Specifically, how can we use data to help us get students more support sooner so that we're not waiting around until a situation explodes and we need all of the time and all of the resources? We can start now and data can help point us to that.
Totally.
Right. So talking to us today, we have two new friends from North Kansas City Schools, Dr. Lisa Friesen and Jamie Ferguson.
Yes. We were so excited to learn from them.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So Dr. Lisa Friesen has been with the North Kansas City Schools for 22 years. She is a former elementary and high school special education teacher and is currently serving as a district instructional coordinator for MTSS. And in that work, she's organizing and supporting academic and behavior interventions and systems K through 12 for the whole district.
Yeah, she's great.
She's amazing.
And Jamie Ferguson has been part of the North Kansas City School District for the past 16 years. She spent a lot of her career, 11 years to be exact, at Lyndon West Elementary, where she co-led the Tier 1 interventions and served on the Tier 2 and Tier 3 support teams there. But now she is at Oak Park High School, and she focuses her time there on academic interventions and student success through programs like Missouri Options and the Check and Check Out intervention. She's passionate about creating equitable learning environments and helping every student find their own path to achievement.
Yes.
Yeah. We had such a good conversation with the two of them.
I was really impressed, especially, you know, when we're doing this work and talking about data and decision rules specifically at Tier 1, like it's difficult to find high schools that are really exemplars for this. So we were really I think fortunate to have some of our colleagues that are you know, they're doing a research project with them.
Yeah. And they were like, you got to talk to Lisa and Jamie.
And they were right. They steered us in the right direction. So.
That's right. That's right. I love talking to high school folks. They have such a real practical approach to this because who has time when you've got so many classes and so many students that are coming in and out? So I really, what I took away from our conversation was really the way that data play a role, but also how they bring a lot of heart to this work too.
So much.
So they know their kids, they know the students. So the students become more than just a data point. They know what's going to work. They know, they at least have an idea about what isn't going to work as good. They've got a sense of building relationships and the importance that the important role that plays in the way that students are able to be successful, with these tier two supports. So yes, data play a role and they'll talk to us about that. But I also want you guys to really pay attention to how they talk about their students as people.
They really do. They really care about them. You could feel that. They were really, especially at the high school, it's bigger and the stakes are higher. Like, am I going to graduate? Do I have enough credits? Like, so that often can be the focus, but they really are like, nope, relationships. That's why we're here and building a community and making students feel intentionally welcome and seen.
That's right.
I really picked up on that.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. So I just want you guys to really listen to the ideas that they share and how they get students more support, the way that they leverage their systems and how they aren't afraid to go back and say, oh, whoops.
Yep.
In order to do tier two, we actually have to improve some of our systems and practices at tier one.
Yeah.
And so just listen and take away as many of the tidbits as they throw at us, because there's a lot.
So much to learn here. Enjoy it.
Well, Jamie and Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. We've cleared the schedules as much as we can, and here we are. So today, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about the way that you all get students the additional support that they need, maybe a little bit sooner than would otherwise happen, and maybe the ways that you use data to make that happen for kids. But before we dive into that topic too much, maybe you all could tell us a little bit more about where you're from, where you're coming to us live from today. Mm-hmm. How long has PBIS been happening in your district? How many schools are there? Just tell us the basics. Give us the rundown.
Sure. So we are North Kansas City Schools, so just north of Kansas City. But we're the second largest district in the state of Missouri, and have the most diverse high school in the state of Missouri, as well as the most diverse elementary schools too. Over 100 plus languages spoken in the district, and we're about little under like 50% free and reduced, but that's the average out of all those schools. So we have a wide range. We're about 82 square miles, so pretty large. We have four different feeder patterns that our elementaries feed into the middle schools, and then those four high schools. So we have 21 elementary schools. We have two sixth grade centers and four middle schools and four high schools.
You got a lot of moving parts.
We do a lot of driving around with all the schools that I go to. So I started in this role as like the PBIS RTI facilitator. And at the time it was really a ground up approach. And so we had a couple elementary schools that had already been implementing. And I started in this role in 2009. So we only had a couple elementary schools that were really kind of dabbling in it. They had been working with an organization in town to help them. And then once I came on board, we partnered with our regional professional development center and really got the curriculum of the Missouri PBIS and had worked with, Dr. Tim Lewis and his team and everybody else that worked in the Kansas City area to tier that in. So we, over those years, for probably about 3 to 4 years after that, we were tiering in more and more schools and adding middle schools as well. So we've been pretty consistent K-8, and at high school has been the like a lot of start and stops, but our schools have applied for the state recognition and have over a decade of that, you know, consistency and things like that. So we definitely the last probably, 12 to 15 years, we've continued to expand and try to maintain that consistency, at least at the K-8 level, and then really trying to expand that to now K-12. We have a district, we've officially adopted PBIS as our district model. So now that and restorative practices, we kind of have those two as our overarching frameworks. And so now there are certain components that all schools should have regardless of, where they're at in implementation.
How long has it been district-wide? Just recently?
Yes, just since last year was like the official naming of it. Has always been kind of the underlying, but yeah. We a behavior task force that really looked and refined a lot of our practices and put them all into a handbook, and that was elementary the past 2 years, and then we added secondary last year, and then it went out to everybody officially this year. So just to kind of recalibrate and get everybody back on the same page, especially after, you know, things that have happened over the last 5 years. Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about. Jamie, you're at the high school. Speaking of high schools implementing, you're at one of the four. Yes.
Yes, I am. I'm at Oak Park High School.
Okay. And how long has Oak Park then been a part of this PBIS world, this initiative?
Well, give you a background about me is I started at the elementary. So when Dr. Friesen was talking about implementing PBIS, her and I had already worked together many, many, many years ago at the elementary. And I was a part of the tier one team at the elementary level who went for recognition for my building. Mm-hmm. So me coming to the high school, this is my third year at Oak Park. I had just been like, where's PBIS? Like, why? Mm-hmm. So I was talking to my supervisor. And so like, we are now redefining it. And we, you know, we got the following year. But after going through that process, Lewis and I really sat down and talked about how we could do better at a tier one level to really get that going, to make sure, that it all flows and the systems work and build off of each other.
Yeah.
And I would say that, I mean, even in the, I mean, Oak Park was one of the schools that I worked with previously, and, you know, they have expectations, they have a matrix, they have some of those things, but in terms of like really like, and it's ebbed and flowed. What I found at the high school was based on, it was a little more people dependent. And so we're really trying to build stronger systems so that it's not an administrator who's really, you know, really passionate about it, or that's a big focus, or a teacher leader who brings that, you know. And so really getting, you know, Jamie and her assistant principal and the team to build these systems, so also, you know, it's not just dependent on her and her team mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
So that's something at the high school we've really has been more that we're really trying to work on those systems so that it can continue to exist beyond certain people.
Yeah, I think that's a really common experience though too, by thinking that tier one is, we're doing the things, we got this. And then you go to implement mm-hmm. something like a tier two strategy like check in, check out, and you realize that it actually builds on mm-hmm. the systems, practices, and data that you develop as a foundation to your tier one PBIS. And so it's interesting though to hear you all reflect on that and to see that, oh, this could probably work a little bit better if we shored up some of our systems and practices at tier one. So that's a cool reflection.
Yeah. I appreciated how you said about really developing those systems so it's not just dependent on the individual people in your building.
Oh,
because we know that there's naturally going to be turnover, like people move in and out of roles and buildings. And so the systems, if you build them well, that's where you can really sustain that work.
Yeah, Danielle's our systems girl. She loves the system.
You know it. Cool. Well, yeah, let's dive in and talk more about data then, because that's really our focus for the year. And so this month, we're really diving into decision rules, right? To have things that really guide us. So when we sit down with a team, we're not like, what do we do with this data? But we have a strategy. We have kind of a place
to get started.
Yeah, it's a starting place, a launching pad. So we're really looking at the decision rules that are guiding how students get access to more support. And we'd love to hear about how this works in practice in both at the district level and at the high school you're at. So tell us more about that. How does data play a role in the way students get more support?
So at Oak Park, we over the summer talked about how to make sure our practices are good at the tier one level. Mm-hmm. So like we redid our matrix, and then I talked about in order for us to move or know what next steps are going to need, not only for the building, but for kids, we have to have data. We have to collect the data. And so the teachers would input any type of incidents, minors or majors. And like at a tier one level, we would look through it of, oh, you know, the cafeteria, that's a really hot spot. You know, maybe we should like create videos or do reinforcements to help make sure that we truly understand, you know, what the expectation is of the building. building. And you can understand like, well, what happened or like who's responsible. And so we're able at a tier one level to see where the issue is in the building. Is it the disrespect? Is it we're having issues with, you know, the cafe or the hallways or the bathroom or truancy, things like that. So then at the tier one level, we're able to really work and redefine and bring this back to our student body to create videos of the expectations and push those out through MTSS time. Mm-hmm. Or advisor, I should say, as well. Yeah. And then I, at the tier two level, look at it from the perspective of if kids are continuing to populate on this document of what is it that they're needing? Are they, because it's across the pathway. So it's across different classrooms as well that could be put on there. So are they having issues with being disruptive in the class? Would they benefit from a tier two intervention? Would they need a small group with Character Strong, with Sissy? Mm-hmm. And so at that tier two level, then that's what we're looking at to get them more support instead of just waiting until an explosion happens or something. Like, mm-hmm. we're trying to be a very proactive approach about it.
Mm-hmm. Love that. That's such the heart of PBIS, is really being preventative and proactive and thinking ahead to like where this might go and catching it early and intervening for kiddos. So
yeah,
love that.
And within that, like, we've already caught about 6 kids that we're going to start to try to get on and check in, check out with Angus. So yeah. it's a really good start. We have 2 going right now. And so far the first round, or like the first couple of days, were a little rocky, but then like that coaching, and then also already talking to a mentor with the student, like they're already bonding and making sure that, you know, that relationship is connected to help support the kid.
Right. Cause it takes time to build those relationships. And so often we've talked about it here, mm-hmm. in our conversations with other people, that so much of what works about these practices and these systems are the relationships that are built behind the scenes. And if you want to have kids that need some additional support succeeding in those supports, you got to have time to build those relationships with them, for sure. So yeah. Earlier is better.
100%.
How are your teams set up, Jamie? Do you have like a school-wide, a tier one team, and then like a tier two team, or is it all like a big mix group?
We have a tier one. So tier one is comprised of myself and Sissy, who are also at the tier two level, but then also classroom teachers in the different pathways. Gotcha. So then that way we have the hearsay of what's happening, yeah. within the school. And then tier two is made up of, again, myself and Sissy. Of course, Lewis is on both of them, and then our counselors. And so, because our counselors go into pathway meetings as well. So like they have a good pulse of their students as well, of what they're needing academically and behaviorally.
So is it that, because you serve on both teams, I can imagine that that's how the communication naturally flows, that you're able to hear what the group is recommending at tier one, and then take the students that have been identified over to your tier two meeting. Is that about how it goes?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes where I just meet with Lewis because of just the schedules and the busyness of a high school, and I'll meet with him and talk to him about kiddos. Sissy and I will do about the same thing. And then on our tier two level, we have our school, social worker. So mm-hmm. she too is in on it as well. So,
and Lisa, what is the, go ahead.
Lewis is the assistant principal. So
yeah,
thank you.
That's okay. So you talked a little bit about, or you mentioned matching students up with a support that would work best for them. And so, how is it? So when we talk about decision rules, what are the rules that you look at within those tier two practices, to say, oh, I think this student would benefit from this intervention? What are the rules that you use, or what are the data points that you're looking at, or how do you make those decisions?
Mm-hmm. Jamie, do you want to talk about?
Yeah. So yeah, I can do that. So at the, for the tier two, for check-in, check-out, we definitely look at, their attendance, because if they're not here at school, then a check-in, check-out, it's not going to work for them. Yeah. We also look for them wanting to, like, being motivated, because within the check-in, check-out, they have to create goals for themselves, and they have to be, it's like they're self-monitoring within class. Mm-hmm. The other part within it is it builds relationships to where it's not just one teacher, but it builds relationships throughout the school. Right. And so with doing this last year, we had a kiddo who kind of got embarrassed to be able to walk up to a teacher and hand him the computer and do the checkout. And we were always having to like track him down and, you know, check on him and make sure he was doing it. And we realized that he would have benefited better for a small group or a one-on-one of trying to get to more like kind of an intimate setting to where it's not his peers looking at him for an intervention at that tier two level versus a check-in, check-out. Yeah. Where the other kids that we, you know, sent through or had them go through that process really benefited from it because they enjoyed talking to their teachers. In fact, that became one of their like they never realized that just greeting their teacher before walking into the classroom made such a positive impact. And mm-hmm. so they continued that even though they had reached their goals on check-in and check-out. And then we had another kiddo who was new to the district last year and even new to our building. And so to see him this year having success, it's been awesome because he created those relationships last year and helped him become motivated of, you know, coming to class on time, having his computer ready and doing those self regulation skills.
Nice.
So we look at some of those referral data too. And like Jamie said, the attendance, but like, if they're kind of in that, for lack of that bubble, you know, where they have extreme lack of attendance, but if they're still a little bit, you know, that might be. And then also we're kind of looking at students who, at least for tier two, like not the extreme individual, or there's like really big dynamic behaviors and things that we need to work through. Students who maybe aren't, you know, they're not getting a lot of their work done, or they're constantly talking out in class, you know, like there's just those, the behaviors that we can really try to work to have some of those replacement behaviors, but they're not so intense mm-hmm. that we need really individualized plans. And then the other thing that's been that we've done in the past and we're trying to like keep going to is like, if they had, because we in middle school we have some of these, so if they were successful, or especially for that transition, because we do a lot and then they get to high school and it's like, good luck. You know, we want to make sure there's some of that transition. So some kids when they're talking to the counselor be like, I was on the check-in, check-out, and this was really helpful. So once we have those systems really up and running, we can be like, great, let's at least try the short time frame and just to like ease you into that transition. But really looking at freshmen and sophomores especially has been that I'm working, you know, at the high school to try to do that early intervention and get them set on a successful path. But we do need them to have, be willing to talk to an adult, or like they, you know, who we always ask them, like, who's somebody that you have a positive relationship with? Mm-hmm. So if we're them with that person for a check-in, check-out, are there, or do you only have one? So we're trying to build some of that. But if they end up being more responsive with by a peer, you know, a peer mentor or something, then we'll look at that. But we at least try to start with who would be kids who could benefit from that check-in, check-out, that have a relationship with an adult in the building and that just kind of need that accountability. And then look at, okay, it's not just the accountability, like they know what they need to do, but then they need help with more skills with how to do it. So we're kind of looking at that skill versus will, and it's not always easy to pull back those layers, but some, you know, some kids it's like, yeah, we just need you here. We want you to be here. So
yeah, that's an important message to send to kids too, that like, we do want you here. We care about you.
So I'm hearing so much in what you're talking, mm-hmm. what both of you are talking about. You're sharing, it's not just about like how many referrals does this student have. You're talking about making some decisions based on a transition need from mm-hmm. middle school to high school mm-hmm. so that it doesn't feel like I was doing all this stuff and I felt super mm-hmm. supported and now I'm in this building and the bottom dropped out and I mm-hmm. have nothing. So you're talking about knowing who those kids were and offering that transition to high school using that same intervention or those same supports, which is great. You're also talking about referrals. And I feel like when, as you were talking about it, I could hear the word simmer, like in my own mind, like you can just know that there's like, there's something going there. It's like, it's just like a little shake, a little shimmy shake in there.
That's where those path meetings are really helpful to be like, they meet every week, you know? So I think one meeting a month is more on behavior and then the other is more or something, but is a chance to be like, okay, who's simmering and needs a little.
And some of that you can get from data, but like you're saying, so much of that is just the experience of being in the classroom with a group of kids. And so you just kind of know there's something happening,
right?
Like it's just happening over here. And so there's that piece of data, both qualitative and quantitative. You're also talking about, what do we know about our students? What's their motivation here? Are they going to be embarrassed when they take something up in front of the class and ask for feedback from a teacher, or would they love it? I remember one of my girls said that there were kids carrying around their point cards. This was in elementary school, so a little different, but they would carry around their point cards in school, and it was like a cool thing, and like everybody wanted to have a card that they could pick up to, you know, whoever and be like, okay, now you give me the smiley face, you know, or whatever it was. And so for some students that can be like a real reinforcer, but knowing your kids, like, they, like you were saying, would might have benefited from just a smaller group intervention with their friends or kids that they relate to. So you're using a lot of different data points in what you're sharing with us, which is, I mean, it's amazing. It's remarkable that the amount of information that we carry around in our brains.
Totally. I'm really just noticed and impressed by asking kids what worked for them, especially at the high school level. They've been in school for many years. And so maybe they have experienced a small group intervention or been on check in, check out or other things. So to just let them tell you and ask them and what's worked, what feels like would meet the needs that you have. I think it's such a simple and yet really important and valuable conversation to have. Love that.
Yeah, we have portrait of a graduate competencies that are K-12, but especially at the high school. So it's those soft skills, and that's something that, you know, being able to be problem solvers and take ownership and responsibility and some of that too is just something that you know, they have a lot to say if we just need to ask them, right?
Find absolutely out.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. So tell us about how students have responded to these interventions, and what has their feedback been to you about how helpful? What have you noticed, and what have they told you?
So for the check-in, check-outs, we just started it last year. The kiddos, about three of them, gave us feedback of they enjoyed being on it and being able to self-regulate and meet their goals within the class period. One of the pieces that I mentioned earlier is a simple thing of just greeting their teacher before walking in and taking a seat. Made a lasting impact to where, you know, it gets them talking to their teacher and seeing how their day is going as well, to just kind of know what the class period is and that they are humans. Another one, it helped him regulate to have his computer charged. That was the biggest thing, is that he continued to not have his computer charged to be successful in class. So making sure that we were taking steps and problem solving through that has definitely helped him for even this year. Because when I still check on their grades and check how they're doing, they're having success in the classroom, which is very, like, it's very positive and rewarding. And then so far we only have two kiddos, on check in, check out right now. But they are seeming to take away with it. Like, one of our girls was a little hesitant at first. We paired her beautifully with a mentor who she works in our counseling area, but she used to like cut hair and stuff. And so the girl is much wanting to like be a stylist and stuff. So like now they have conversations you know, about that. And she loves going in and checking in the morning and checking out when she's done. And so that pairing of building another person, another relationship versus just having Sissy, who's our behavior interventionist within our building, of just having that relationship. So it's just growing. But that's very helpful within the grand scheme of things within the secondary, because there are so many working parts and people that you just, if you only just stay in your one little bubble, like you don't get to reach out and meet everybody. And so they're definitely building those relationships of then in return, they show up to school and they have better attendance and things.
Yeah.
And really, I know these are smaller numbers. We're really trying to tier this and like pilot it in a sense of like really figuring out our systems. And so we're starting with a smaller amount, we're starting with one pathway and then expanding. And so I think Oak Park's really worked on their systems to continue to add more kids as we go through the year. And just this first quarter, just kind of getting those systems back up and running this year. One of the other high schools that is also been doing this since last year, one of the things is they were also having a couple of the kids that were really successful with it come and help mentor the other kids, or just like help them get started or talk a little bit about that, because they still wanted a little bit of that, you know, accountability, you know, but don't really blown intervention. And so we were trying to figure out some ways to like pull them into support maybe a new student that's starting on it, or how they could help. So we're just kind of playing with that a little bit about what that looks like at the high school level compared to the.
Yeah, I think working with high school students, you have more opportunity to really let them shine, right? And be those mentors people. I love that. I love that you really focused on that part about human connection. Just like if someone's into, wants to do hair or those kind of things, like talking about that, getting to know them, really building those relationships. They feel seen and heard when they're in school. I love that.
Me too.
Yeah. Like we need that in our lives.
Yeah. Right?
Like that's,
yeah.
What it takes.
What about the adult response? What have they noticed now that some of these supports are getting out into the school a little bit sooner? What's the adult response been?
Well, this year we, like what Dr. Friesen was saying, is we started within one pathway. And so this year we have branched out. So it is more teachers are on board with it. And so we did a little snippet, or like, at the beginning of the year, we call it like a little carousel to where like we explain what tier one is, but then I got to tell them what tier two is and how it supports kids. And so they were very intrigued on how to get better support with, you know, with their students in the classroom. So this year we actually have a Spanish teacher that's on board, and she also came to the PBIS conference of this past summer. And so she is actually the two students that we have on check in, check out. She is excited to see how it helps the students within the classroom. And by going to that conference, she feels even better to be able to provide this intervention for the student, of giving them that positive feedback within the classroom. And then we have a brand new teacher to the building who again is in like the fine arts. And so I was just trying to be more strategic of like having not just the core classes of like math and reading, but to like branch it out into the other classrooms. And so far the teachers, it hasn't been up and running quite yet with those two kiddos, but in the past, like, they're excited to see what's to come. And then the teachers that we used last year, like they're ready for kids to come on board. Like they, it's a very seamless intervention to where like they know to check on them and their goals and to give them, you know, feedback along the way within the class period to like help keep them on track, instead of, you know, how sometimes teachers, you know, and kids can get to where like you're just battling back and forth. This is more of that proactive and that positive approach. So
sounds like you've done a lot to really create buy-in amongst your staff too with this initiative, which can be really tricky at a high school level.
Yes, it can.
Yes. So kudos to you. That's great.
And sure. Starting smaller, starting with one pathway, a couple, you know, some certain teachers, and then expanding from there, being able to share their experiences.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Uh-huh. Like it's good for grownups to meet with other grownups and tell them that this is not bad. This is okay. Just in the same way that these students want to come back and help other students and say, like, this is a cool thing that you're going to do. And here's why it worked for me.
Right.
So we all
need it. They also saw it didn't take a lot of time.
Yeah.
It was, yes. Mm-hmm. So that was part of it too, is that, yes, I can get feedback and, you know, it doesn't need to take a lot.
Right. It's not so much extra.
Right.
Love it. Agreed.
Well, what would you share with other schools? So right now we're talking to each other, but there are other people out there that will listen to this conversation. It's remarkable, really, the power of the internet. There are other people out there that are like, I am doing this or want to do more of this. So what are some of your biggest lessons that you've learned so far in implementing tier two supports, or how you incorporate data into your decisions? What would you share with them that has worked really well and might be a recommendation for them to focus on as they move into this work?
I'd say the thing that was really helpful is starting smaller, kind of going slow to go fast.
Yeah.
And with a couple of students, it was just starting with, you know, a student that were like, hey, we really want to try this. And so that starting small and really figuring out what works in your systems, what you need. And it really was interesting, a little bit different take at the high school to really focus a little more on tier two first, to mm-hmm. then say, okay, what do we need at tier one? And that is, you know, how we did some of the others, and it wasn't all interventions, but it was really starting with one. And to me, that seemed to also create more of a buy-in, like, what do we need at tier one in order to help us have a more efficient tier two? And so that was just a different approach that I hadn't really used in the past and seemed, and, you know, Jamie can speak more to that coming from, you know, different experiences as well. But to me, that seemed to be a helpful take.
What are some of the things that stood out when you started to look at, like, oh, we're doing this, but at tier one, what were some of those things that you could have shorn up a little bit more in order to make your tier two more efficient?
Well, for here at the Oak Park level, it would be, we hadn't revised our matrix in a while. Mm-hmm. And so going back through and making sure that when we're reading it, it's positive versus negative, because sometimes that wording can make mm-hmm. a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Getting the signs out, like in the hallway, of like what hallway expectation is, put it in the bathroom, putting it all in the classrooms, thinking through of like, how are we going to reward the good behavior of following the matrix and doing it. The Norman Nichols and the Norman Nickel Bank here are a huge success. The kids are receiving Norman Nichols for following that matrix behavior. And then they're saving them and banking them from, like, say, homecoming tickets or football game tickets and things like that. We also have like the snack cart that is healthy treats and snacks on it that they can choose to use those with. So it's just reinforcing and teaching them that, you know, we see you, we appreciate you following those, you know, those directions and expectations here at school. Because of that, like, it's a safer environment. It feels good to be here, like, for the family. And the other things too is that data collection. That was a huge one, is that we can talk about how to collect data at that tier two level and even sometimes tier three level, but what are we doing at just the tier one? And mm-hmm. so shoring up those practices to make sure that we are collecting it and have a good pulse of the building was huge this summer to talk about.
That's really cool. I'm blown away with what you're describing. And I think that kind of makes sense, Dr. Friesen, what you were saying about, usually we would coach people, you start at tier one, you scale up, you go to tier two and tier three, but to kind of start at tier two and show that there's more of a need to go back and revisit your expectations and acknowledgement systems makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Actually,
right?
You know, it's like, yeah, it's an interesting approach, but I could see how it really made sense.
They had some stuff, but like, we hadn't really systematized that. Yeah. So it was like, okay, here's why, or we're going to get to the point where we have so many students that we cannot support. And so we need to figure out what are some of those things where we can just do some reteaching of and have some, you know, specific times to reteach that and see, okay, how many kids does that help, or they just need that little bit, and then mm-hmm. really see that. But yeah, it was interesting that I wouldn't normally approach it that way, but it has seemed to be really successful with our schools that are doing this study and taking this on, and it's helping to shed some light on where are the holes or where are gaps that we need to fill at that tier one level.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it also just really reinforces this idea that each tier builds on the other, right? Yes. And so you can think, oh yeah, we're doing the school-wide stuff. We've been doing it. So we should be doing tier two. And
right.
then you go and you start to implement those tier two systems and practices and collecting the data, and you realize, oh,
mm-hmm.
oh.
Yeah. Yep. We have more to do.
Well, the other thing too is not only are we trying to help students, but we also have to educate our staff. And so, like you have said, that the turnover at high school can be high. So it's also teaching the teachers of the practices at that tier one level, of the proactive approach and when can that take place? Because sometimes within professional development, it gets taken up by district things. And so mm-hmm. it's figuring out the times that we can do it on a smaller scale to be able to then help all of the students.
Well, this has been great.
Brilliant. Yes. I'm so excited that we get to highlight the work you're doing.
Yeah, me too. And we always love talking with high schools. We talk to a lot of elementary school folks who are doing this work. And that is really special and important to talk about in different ways. Mm. But the, like you were saying, high schools, there are a lot of fits and starts. That's not unique to your district. It's
right.
just how it is. And so anything that we can learn from you all and other schools that are doing this work is super helpful. It's informative and teaches us how PBIS interventions like check in, check out can work at that level. It's great.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us and yes. telling us all your experiences and your stories. This is great.